We began talking to our key leaders, and it began an 18-month process leading to eventually a merger where we formed a new association, a new culture, and we came out of that with a newly organized and incorporated association. It was a win. We became one new entity.
You're listening to a special edition of the AMS Excellence Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the discussion of strategic best practices related to associational missions. Here's your host, Rick Curtis.
Hey guys, I want to welcome you to this special edition of the AMS Excellence Podcast. We're here in Phoenix today, me and Chris Crane. Chris Crane is the Executive Director of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association, and he's serving as the lead missional strategist for the association. Chris, it's great to have you here today.
It's an honor to be with you, Rick. Thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, I'm really excited about this because as I deal with associations across the nation, so many of them are contemplating what most would call a merger, but partnership.
Sure.
And so to pick your brain a little bit on this today is a really exciting thing for us.
Absolutely.
Hey, so before we get right to it, tell us about your family. Tell us about your ministry call a little bit and what led you up to eventually becoming the associational mission strategist.
I married my high school sweetheart. I was a shy, reserved guy. And so God put her right in front of me in the high school marching band, and she fell in my arms, literally passed out, and that's how I met my wife. So we became fast friends. We got married after she went off to college. We had three children now, and our first was adopted from Taipei, Taiwan, and then we had two by birth. And so we're a happy family with three teenagers.
That's incredible. Hey, when I first heard your story about meeting your wife, I got a chuckle out of that.
Yeah.
I think we all have funny stories, but you were the white knight. You caught her as she fell.
Absolutely. God said, this boy is such a fool, I'm going to have to throw a girl in his arms. So I'm glad that he did.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Hey, like I said in the intro, I'm really excited to have you in here today because I have watched you do an incredible thing in Birmingham. And I just can't wait to extract from your experience for the guys out there. So as you know, many of our associations are contemplating potential mergers and partnerships. And having watched you from afar and how you handled the partnership with both Birmingham and Bessemer, I thought, what a great thing to have you on the podcast and to share what you've learned through that process with our listeners. So tell me about the recent partnership and let's talk about that. What were some of the pros and the cons and all of that stuff?
Certainly. Just a little bit about both associations. The Birmingham Metro Association, founded in 1833. Bessemer, originally that area, which is southwest of Birmingham City, that was originally part of the Birmingham Association. So back in the 1940s, that became its own association to reach a whole different group of people and a whole different section of the growing city area of Birmingham. But we discovered, talking with the AMS there, that they had considered being a part of something bigger than what they were. Around 50 churches, we were 130. And so one day at a restaurant, he leans over and says, why don't we get started? And it was his humility, and his name is Barry Cosper, Associational Mission Strategist for Bessemer. His humility really began that. He said, let's get started. So we did. We began talking to our key leaders, and it began an 18-month process leading to eventually a merger where Bessemer churches became a part of Birmingham Metro. And we formed a new association, a new culture, but the coming together started with his humility and wanting that to happen. And an 18-month process, a year of that being a partnership, where we decided, let's try for a year to start doing things together, molding our missional strategies together, and that worked out very well. And Rick, you're humble. You are a great part of that. You helped our associations kind of have some handholds to make that happen. You called a SWOT analysis, and so it gave us the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats that we needed to look at to make this partnership effective. And we came out of that with a new set of governing documents, a newly organized and incorporated association, and because we didn't want either association to feel like they lost. You know, it was a win. We became one new entity.
Absolutely.
And so, and a new leadership structure. And we are excited with the product and are living with that now. and could not be more happy.
Well, that's great, and you honor me by saying so, but you guys were so professional in that whole thing. It was easy. It was my honor to come and participate in that analysis. But, you know, you just said something that I think is very important, and that is after Barry had approached you about the merger, you immediately threw that out to your decision makers or your thought leaders in the associations. And so I think that is significant. I mean, that rolled off your tongue so easily. That's what you do. You go to your A team and you kind of run some of that stuff off of them. So I'm sure that was one of the keys to the success of the whole thing. But tell us about what are the keys for success on something so big? How do you pull that off?
Well, certainly the three areas I think are important. First is relationships. Like you said, we did go and talk with our key relational leaders in the association, some of those significant pastors who are part of the culture of Birmingham, and then, of course, Bessemer, and building those relationships. What we discovered is you cannot rush the partnership. We have to spend time building those relationships. And Barry and I even went on a stump tour pre-COVID, and we went to a lot of the significant churches, and we asked for any leadership group they wanted to put in front of us in those churches. Or in some cases, for those medium-sized or smaller or normative-sized churches, they gave us a Sunday morning, sometimes a Wednesday night, and we were able to pitch the concept, why we're better together. And that was a tremendous relational tool for us. And we began to pull together clusters of pastors from the both associations and get them together and talk about that, let them ask questions and kind of pose their own ideas of what this could look like. And so those relationships are key. Also, I would say another category of making this successful for us was relevancy. It wasn't just to put together two ineffective associations. I know that's not the case. Birmingham had a long track record of great ministry in the city, some great things that they've been a part of long before I came on board. And the same is true for Bessemer. Their association had been involved in racial reconciliation, solemn assemblies, helping pastors, by coaching. They had a really good track record of that. So bringing the strengths of Bessemer and Birmingham together to just take both relevant associations and just see the synergy in that and what that could do for everyone in both associations in a new merged association. And I think the third is something that may be on the minds of some of the listeners here is the issue of resources. And we knew that having an association come together, two associations forming one, it would certainly be a good stewardship measure, but that didn't drive things. But we did look at that because we wanted to make sure we were putting money into ministry and not just funding salaries and duplicating services. So, you know, those relationships, the relevancy of it, and the resources just made this a no-brainer for us.
I want to touch on an impression that I had as I walked with you through that partnership. And it has to do with what you just said, the better together kind of mantra that you guys had. Better together. That was prevalent through all of the talks. I came to think of that a little more deeply than just at its surface level. I know that there are mergers that happen and outside of what your situation was. There's associations out there that are merging with a solo AMS. There's one guy and there's maybe a leaderless association that's trying to merge. Well, what the Better Together kind of mantra illustrated to me was it was about the churches and the pastors of the association. It was about the association. It wasn't about any one leader. So a lot of the principles we're learning here or hearing from Chris today, they're not AMS-centric, if I'm making up words now. But they didn't revolve around Barry or Chris. It revolved around the associations being better as one. And so I just wanted to compliment both you and Barry on that because that was a strong theme through it all. It doesn't have to do with the leader. It has to do with the gospel impact of whether or not these two associations can be better together, regardless of what the leadership looks like.
Absolutely.
So let me throw something out at you because I've been in church work a long time and people dynamics are funny things. And especially when you're merging two associations and for the listener, Bessemer and Birmingham are pretty different associations. They have some distinctives to them. So walk with us, Chris, and tell us, how did you deal with the people dynamics from both associations and get them to the table for partnership? How do you do that?
Well, just very practically, getting people together was a key, and helping them to see that in spite of our differences, Birmingham being more urban, less, maybe more strategic minded, less relational minded than the Bessemer Association, still yet, there was so much in common. And, you know, we went through the process together of meeting and agreeing on this mission statement for the newly merged association, and it's to encourage, equip, and engage biblically faithful churches in the Great Commission. It was something that both associations could get their minds and their hearts around, because we're about the Great Commission, and we wanted to be centered around the local church, not just community ministries or doing missional things in the city or in the suburbs, but it's about strengthening those local churches and bringing people together in significant ministry. So we began combining teams together. That worked really well for us to begin working as a team. So we brought WMU leaders together, both associations. I mean, that was interesting.
Yeah, I bet.
It's like moving two families into one house. But it's amazing. They seemed to find great affinity and willingness to work together. And they had the same humility in Bessemer, those WMU ladies, as Barry did. So they really followed the spirit and the heart of their leader there, which was so refreshing. And same with things like disaster relief, which is still a huge thing in our region, and all the other ministry teams bringing those together. And then really, most importantly, the pastors bringing them together, helping them form cohort groups, and that's been great, including groups around revitalization and replanting, which has been a huge new initiative in the merged association, bringing pastors together. And a lot of wonderful partnerships have come out of that, resourcing churches with churches that needed to be replanted or needed some revitalization help. And not only just those needs being the platform for bringing people together, but also, let's say we have some predominantly Anglo churches that want to partner with predominantly African-American churches. So that was another way to bring pastors and leaders together across both associations. And that's been a wonderful thing to happen because, as you well know, in the middle of all the partnership, the George Floyd thing became huge.
And that's right.
We found the association ready to grapple with that. We started racial reconciliation discussion groups. And even with COVID, we were able to get together on Zoom with pastors. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing how we were able to find those handholds to get people to come together and talk about what a new association together could look like.
Well, what I have to give you props because, you know, in a lot of cases when you're trying to, whether it's a merger of two churches or in this case, even more complex, the merger of two associations, you take all those people dynamics and a less than quality leader might say, hey, I'm bringing the problems of this association together with the problems of this association. And how is that going to work? But you guys focused on, hey, these are the strengths of each association. And you held those listening groups and the talking groups. And you said, hey, the urban can learn from the rural and the rural can learn from the urban. The, what did you say? The strategic and the relational. That's another contrast you just made. That in particular strikes me as poignant, that the strategic association may lack some relational ability because they're all about getting it done and getting the business done. And the relational may not think as strategic. What a wonderful mix to bring together to strengthen a single association. It really gives some heart to the better together statement that you made earlier. So speaking of things you said earlier, you mentioned the stewardship issue just a little while ago. I'm just going to cut to the chase and ask you, is saving money a good enough reason to merge an association?
Well, I would be a fool if I didn't say that I have, as a pastor for 23 years, I looked at associational ministry and I saw a lot of duplication of services. I saw a lot of things I thought, wow, if I were ever involved in denominational work or involved as an associational leader, I would want to fix that.
Right.
And so I came into this role with that kind of mindset. And we have saved literally tens of thousands of dollars in duplicated services between Bessemer and Birmingham. And Bessemer, not a huge budget, a healthy budget. And Birmingham, with a substantial budget and some resources, we have saved a tremendous amount of money that we've been able to put back into ministry and missions in our communities. And I'm very proud of that.
Yeah,
I think that that's been an incredible achievement. And we brought the Bessemer AMS onto our staff team, and that's been huge. He has a title. My title with our association is executive director. And his title is regional director. We have utmost respect for his tenure, for his abilities, for his experience, and for his commitment. And so we wanted to honor that in every way possible. But, Rick, I'll tell you this. If money was the reason solely that we wanted to do this, I don't think it would have been a success.
Yeah.
It would have been like two drowning people trying to save each other. And that's not where we were. Birmingham could have kept moving forward and doing pretty well. Bessemer could have kept moving forward and managed the continued, you know, the struggles. There are cuts and diminishing resources, of course. But, you know, even though we could have done it separately for a long time, perhaps, it was the better missional decision for us to come together. And we knew we could do better together and give a more robust ministry for our associational churches to plug into if we united. And so it's really about the mission and not about the money.
Yeah, that's a great word. And listen, I've seen the enhancement, and that's a good word, I think. I brought that word away from the whole process, is that you're one entity now, not two, but each enhanced the other to form this new partnership. It was a wonderful thing to watch. Hey, so let me ask you a different type question. What can you do better today now that your partnership is permanent and that the merger's complete and over with? What can you do better?
Well, now we have a staff team that has the strengths to meet the needs of our churches. Barry has brought on some incredible skills in his ministry toolbox that has enhanced me. He's been at it a lot longer than I have.
Barry's a great guy, by the way.
He is. He's a wise sage, and people view him that way. He has a lot of respect. And so his background and experience in coaching pastors, in helping with racial reconciliation, he's such a guy with a broad, diverse group of friends, and that spills out in his ministry with the churches and pastors. And he brought all those tools to us, and we're so thankful for that. In Birmingham, we have a staff. We have an attorney on staff. We have some really skilled leaders on staff, business leaders, other church resource specialists on staff, and to make those available to those Bessemer churches, it's a no-brainer. And so that's been good, to have a staff and leadership to meet the needs of our churches and to get us all together on mission. Plus, I mean, we've talked about this already, but we have more money to do ministry now. And that is a fantastic place to be, that we're not, you know, looking at budget cuts or trying to work out issues related to diminishing dollars regarding missions and trying to, you know, hold up administrative needs. So we have more money to do that. Plus, here's something that's a little intangible, but we're beginning to see it happen. There's a halo effect. There's a wow factor that we see now that we have come together and things are going very well. Some of our significant pastors, I mean, of large churches, are saying, wow, we're so excited at what God is doing in our association. It's growing. We have all these new churches now. It seems like we have new ministries going on that are making a difference. So how can we help resource? And that has blessed me. And one huge thing that happened is one of our partners, we are the founding parent organization of Baptist Health. They donated to the association free, plus some money, a wonderful office complex right there at the heart of the city, right on the edge of the city there, that we're able to use now as a partner center.
Wow.
And a ministry center. And so you add in the recent merger, this great new facility in a upwardly mobile area of the city, and people are saying, what is going on in Birmingham? It's a good time to be there, and momentum is on our side right now, and we're thankful.
That's great. Hey, I'm going to speculate, but I know it to be true. Many of the associational leaders that are listening today probably are from smaller associations. They don't have the strength of Birmingham Association, yet they're considering merger. They may not have a lawyer on staff at the other association, but I want to encourage you guys that are listening today. Talent is talent, and the talent of two is always stronger than the talent of one. The wisdom of two is always better than the wisdom of one. So you may not have a lawyer on staff, but you've got godly men, godly pastors. You've got staff that have been down the road and they're wise, and they can add to the collective wisdom of another association in the event that you do merger. So Chris, for the guy out there that's listening today, and maybe they've even had some talks already about potential merger, maybe he's friends with the association right next to him, and they're thinking about how can they be better together, and they want to consider some first steps. And you've been through this now, you know the struggles associated with it, and you also know the victories. Would you be willing to maybe give your email address so these guys can reach out to you, ask you some questions, and you can help talk them through those?
Absolutely. My email address is Chris, C-H-R-I-S-C, at bmbaonline.org. Again, that's Chris C at bmbaonline.org. And Rick, I was a town and country AMS before becoming an urban AMS. So, no matter the size or the situation, if two associations are interested in a merger or partnership, I feel like I could pray over that, speak into that, be of any service that any AMS listening could, want me to be a part of. I'd be glad to help.
And I want to affirm that to our listeners too. I watched you through this process, and guys, I'm telling you, if this idea of merger or partnership is even in your universe, reach out to Chris. He's got some real wisdom to give. And obviously, we stand ready at the North American Mission Board to help as well. So Chris, most of our listeners know, and you probably know too, I have a final question for my podcast guests. What defines many strategic leaders is that they're willing to reassess their presuppositions. They're willing to change their mind on things. I know you to be a formidable leader. What would you say that you've changed your mind on recently?
I will say that I've come up against my own personal limitations, Rick. I don't know if that makes sense, but I had a much higher view of myself until I hit a wall in ministry. It's something I never thought I would have to deal with, and I came out of that experience. I took some time off. I know there are probably listeners here that have experienced that burnout, basically. And I came out of that experience with five questions I ask myself every day. And the word point kind of helps me share that with others. It's okay. P-O-I-N-T. Who am I partnering with today? Because I cannot do this alone.
Amen.
God did not make us to act independently of our fellow believers. So I need to be asking that. Oh, how am I owning the Great Commission? Am I being what I'm teaching others to be?
Wow.
And so how am I owning that in my own life? Who am I investing in? Because every Paul needs a Timothy, every Timothy needs a Paul. I need to be investing. And then who's nurturing me? Because if someone is not pouring into my life, then I have nothing to give. So I need to make sure that I'm open to being nurtured and shaped and discipled. And then finally, T in the word point is teachable. And that would prevent me from hitting the wall again, is to be teachable and to not express this pride and arrogance that says that I know it all, or I'm not going to have issues or troubles because I'm somehow in a special category. I'm not like everyone else. So I hope that's helpful, because I know that I went through a long season of being a winner. I mean, I had good years in my church as pastor. I never had a year where I backed up, it seemed like, and everything was going well. And then, I hit the wall. But I think God has shown me that I need to be on point.
That's golden. No better way to wind up the podcast than that. Thank you for sharing that. Hey guys, my special guest today for this special edition of the podcast is Chris Crane, the Executive Director of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. Chris, thanks again for coming and sitting down with me.
Thank you, Rick. It's an honor.
All right. God bless.
You have been listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. For more information or to contact the North American Mission Board's Associational Relations Team, send an email to associations@namb.net.